Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
11 o'clock hour here on Cody and Gold. Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. We'll get to the trash of the day in 20 minutes. Also, we'll take your calls during the Chiefs Red half hour. So if you've got something on your mind, I'm sure you do, about how things went down yesterday for the Chiefs, we'll get to your calls, 913-586-7965 at 11:30. Meanwhile, you can always text in. You can interact on the stream. Cody's got Twitch pulled up as well. Facebook, YouTube, always. Twitch, X. Make sure you subscribe there on YouTube so you don't miss any of the shows here on 96.5 The Fan. All right, we continue to go through the trickle-down effect of yesterday's game. I want to key in on probably something I was texted the most about from some friends. I'm sure you guys in your group chats as well. And it wasn't just like the frustration that we already went through talking about the issues, but also like, hey, are they in trouble for the playoffs? Are they in trouble for the division? So let's talk it out here. The Chiefs, we all know they're 5-4. They currently would be out of the playoff field. They'd be the 8 seed. That loss to Jacksonville looms very large, knowing the tiebreaker is at that part, at that point for Kansas City in the AFC South. The latest odds, though, somehow, I'll be honest, like this is where people will roll their eyes, but to make the playoffs, the Chiefs are still minus 650, which is a massive favorite to do so. They are still divisional favorites at plus 120. They are co-favorites to win the AFC still at plus 290.
Sounds right.
And they are still favorites to win the Super Bowl at plus 550, despite being 5-4 and out of a playoff spot. This all will change drastically depending on what happens in Denver, though, after the bye week. We all agree. If the Chiefs lose in Denver, then all that I just mentioned goes away, and it's, the division is done as far as
I'm
concerned.
Can't win the division without beating Denver twice now. Not even just once. You got to beat them the second return trip to Arrowhead as well.
How worried are you? Because for me, to make the playoffs, I'm still not panicking there. I'm really not because I remember a week ago how we were discussing this team and watching this team. I don't think just like that now the team stinks. Okay. Now the schedule is very difficult. Denver twice, Chargers still, Colts still on the schedule. I'm not all that concerned about the Texans and the Cowboys on the schedule. Maybe other people were.
It's 2-7-2 teams they're facing in the next two games.
The next 2 weeks is massive for them. So the division, it's simple. It comes out of the Broncos game. So I'm very worried about the division. There's a chance that this 9-year run in the AFC West is coming to a close. That is a real thought that I think we all should have. But the Broncos game out of the bye week will shift that one way or the other. If they win, then they're very much alive in the division race. But if they lose that game, it's over in the division, and the AFC West will not be coming through Kansas City.
So admittedly, some of this is the eye test part of it. And the good news is for the Chiefs as the division goes. Right now, the Chiefs are 1-1 in the division. The Colts are actually the team in the division that are still 3-0, played their three games and have like the tiebreaker advantage. But the last time they went without Joe Alt for a few games, they were awful on offense. And they just lost Joe Alt again, which means they have no starting left tackle, no starting right tackle. I think they're getting ready to struggle again. So I'm going to take the Chargers are not my current fear. I think if it were just Chiefs and Chargers for the rest of the way, I'd feel 85% confident they were winning the division. The Broncos have only played one divisional game. They're 0-1, so they do not have some massive tiebreaker in that. You have not played them yet. They are two games ahead of you, and you have two games against them. I think it is a 50-50 shot they lose the division. So worried, sure. Do I think that they are not as, or 51-49? I'd probably give them the edge just because they're the Chiefs and they're the Broncos. The thing I'm having a hard time struggling in here is Denver does not pass the eye test, but they are also, they pass the eye test with 15 minutes to go in regulation because to hell if they're not a fourth quarter team. They have come from behind in three different games in impressive fashion, including yesterday to beat Texas, or sorry, not Texas, to beat the Houston Texans to get the win in that one. They've got a two-game advantage, as I previously pointed out, and they are undefeated at home at this stage in the season. So they're a threat. But I still think the Chiefs have as good of a shot as anybody to win the division.
Well, that's why they're,
the fact they're two games back.
That's why they're still the favorites. But yeah. We all agree it comes down to this Broncos game post bye week. And can the Chiefs go to Denver and get a win? If they do that, everybody takes a deep breath again and has a much different feeling. The Colts also look a little more human after one game. We'll see what they do to bounce
they
back.
They also turned the ball over six times and still almost didn't lose. So. I know it was like it's kind of like the Chiefs Bills game. They were still alive in the game despite turning the ball over six times.
That's a good comp. I mean, the Chiefs, Mahomes played his worst game maybe of his career,
and
the Chiefs still somehow, still were with the ball down a possession twice in the second half, if I'm not mistaken. So that's one way to put it. The reason why I'm not worried about the playoffs here's why. One, again, I don't think the Chiefs just now stink after 1 week. The other part is. It really is just, do you think the Chiefs can play one game better than Jacksonville the rest of the way? And now, you may not like that conversation, like, wow, that's really where we're at now, but that is where they're at.
That keeps the playoff stuff alive.
I'm just talking about playoffs, because the Chiefs are 5-4. Below them, it's a 3-5 Texans and a 3-5 Ravens and a 3-6 Bengals, okay? I'm not worried about any of those teams. The Ravens will either win the division and get in as an AFC North, or the Steelers now have... calm things down by beating the Colts and they'll be the rep. I don't think the North is getting two teams in. So what I'm saying is the Chiefs are the 8th seed at 5-4. The Jags are the 7th seed at 5-3. They also have the tiebreaker. The Chargers are 6-3. So, and the Chiefs get the Chargers still. It really is whether or not you, if you're saying, wow, they're missing the playoff, that means you think Jacksonville is going to play better football the rest of the season than Kansas City, as in win more games the rest of the way than Kansas City. And I can't say that sentence out loud and actually
believe
not,
it.
Not like
I
actually not laugh a little bit. Honestly.
I am like, and this is maybe I'll come back to regret these words. 99.9% sure they'll make the playoffs. Like, and the only 0.1%, maybe I'd say 95% at the risk of injury.
Yeah, the math says they have a 67% like, chance.
If you promise me, I think it's way higher than that.
I agree.
Like 95, 97% chance. Look, the Jags do have the Titans still twice.
Fourth easiest schedule the Jags
but
have.
They can lose to the Texans this week. Chargers the week after that. We'll see what the Chargers are. I just mentioned that I think that they do play worse. They still have Colts, Broncos, Jags two more times, I guess, on their, Colts twice on their schedule. Mm-hmm. And then, so it's Colts twice, Titans twice. Those are a wash, too difficult, too easy. But like the thing about the Jags is they can lose. They could lose to the Titans. Like, they're not so good that they can't lose to the Titans. Look, I don't know what the Chiefs are exactly yet this season. They have mostly been losing to the teams that are good on their schedule. And I think tomorrow we'll talk about the score in one or their record in one score games again and get into the bigger picture of that. But the one thing I do know about the Chiefs still this season is they could still be bad teams. Golden, they got the Titans. I feel like that's a win still, you know? Like, I'm not going to lose my mind collectively. It's just... The AFC's tough.
Does 11
because the four best records are teams I'm not sure about.
So the Chiefs have 5 wins in as you're going through the schedule. 11 wins guarantees them at least a wild card, right? 10, it's not impossible. That's when you run into the tiebreaker with Jacksonville. And that's why that Jags win for them is so massive over Kansas City. But that's just where I'm at, where like the division is very real and it's in jeopardy and all that is very true to me. The playoffs, I can't get there being concerned yet. Hell, if the Chiefs lose to the Broncos, the playoffs are still very real even then. Like it's just that you really are just worrying about Jacksonville and the Chargers when it comes to a playoff spot. And only one of them matter. I just don't think the Texans or the Ravens or the Bengals are sneaking up all of a sudden passing you for the final wild card spot.
If now, maybe you're not going to like the Texans and lost all the games leading up to it, maybe, but.
Well, like, I know none of us want the Chiefs to be the seventh seed, and I'm only talking about making the dance. Like, if they're the seventh seed and they go to New England or Buffalo or something, that's a hell of a wild card round.
So this is the thing about the playoffs that still get me. Like, when you're saying they're the favorites still to come out of the AFC, the four teams in the top of the AFC, do any of them, like, genuinely, do any of them strike great fear into your heart? The Indianapolis Colts, the New England Patriots, the Denver Broncos, and the Pittsburgh Steelers are the top four teams in the AFC. Do any of them be like, oh, no, what will they ever do? Can they beat you? Sure. Like, they've obviously proven that. There's a reason why they've started with the record that they had. And Pittsburgh, obviously, coming off their most impressive win of the season, taking down Indianapolis in a game which you and I both agree nobody really gave much of a shot at. And so those are the four best teams in the AFC right now. And I'm supposed to think the Chiefs aren't going to make the playoffs out of that? No. No, because the truth is, like you mentioned with Jacksonville, they can lose to anybody. And yeah, I've pretty much written off anybody 9 through 16. Like, I don't think any of those teams are making the playoffs. We're halfway through the season. Baltimore is the only one I'd give a legitimate shot to.
But to me, if they bounce back,
then Pittsburgh's
going to win the AFC North. So, yeah, it's not great. We're talking about literally the final playoff spot. That's where the Chiefs are at right now as far as looking ahead. They're out of the playoff spot, but we're talking about getting just into the dance. That's the reality if the Chiefs have put themselves in. When you have four losses next to your name in the win-loss column, this is the reality. And I would still bet quite a bit that the Chiefs make the playoffs. The division, that's a different conversation.
What are the odds for them to miss the playoffs?
Well, they're 6-1 to make it.
Okay. So,
it's not 6-1. -600. I'm sorry.
-600
to make it.
I mean, that's a heavy favorite, like, to make the playoffs. And again, I think that those odds are right. I'm not worried about that. You can come in today and tell me that things are not going well and things are relatively bleak from a they're not beating
updated
good
win
teams
total
perspective.
Over under 10.5 wins. Over is -210. Under is +175. Over 11.5 wins, +140. Under 11.5, -165.
I would be betting the over in that. And look,
over. You think they still get to 12?
No, the 10.5.
Oh, okay.
Sorry,
okay, I was gonna say 11. I think this feels like 11. This feels like an 11 win season. All
11
of a
and six. They also won the Super Bowl. I feel like the last time they went 11-6. So. They still have Mahomes. They still have all the other stuff that comes with there. I'm hoping that this bye week refreshes them. But they are having a hard time beating good teams. No doubt. There's no doubt about
that. And they got two good ones coming up.
Yep. And at least again, I'll point out the Broncos get a mini bye. Like, they play Thursday Night Football. So
they're playing the Raiders, yeah.
And the Raiders certainly looked better with Brock Bowers than without him. But Jakobi Meyers might not even be on the team by the time they take on the Broncos. And I would think I like the Broncos fairly easily in that game. So I assume they'll be coming in 2.5, 3 full games ahead of you, waiting for you to come to town.
Yeah, this is what Patrick Mahomes had to say about the schedule ahead and where they're at.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just, we got to learn from it, but it's kind of like, you got to do it now. Like, there's no easy game coming up, and there's no more chances that we can really take losses. So, I mean, you got to learn from it fast, and we got to be better as a team. Offensively, we got to be better, especially on some of those big drives we had in the second half. And I think we'll just continue to push away and learn on this bye week, and then come back and be ready to play our best football coming off of it.
I mean, there isn't wiggle room. Not for the. I mean, the one seed, I think, is
that's dead. over. Yeah,
we didn't talk about that as a part of this, but
I think that just goes without saying.
I will not be entertaining the one seed conversation at all until you give me 4, 5, 6 weeks from here, and they're like a game back. I don't think that's going to happen.
Cody.
So I just said, I'm not eliminating as it is a 100% chance. I think it's a 98% chance they do not get the one seed.
Yeah, I'll go to 100, but I'm with you. Yeah, I'll go. The number one seed is over. We're dreaming at
that
point.
They're only two games back of it, and they face one of the two teams who are ahead of them.
I understand. They're not.
That's why I said 98% chance they don't get it.
Yeah.
I'd like to reserve that
2%. Patriots have the easiest schedule remaining in football. The Bills have the third or fourth easiest schedule remaining in football.
I definitely think it's going to be one
of
those
teams.
You know
what I mean? That's all. We'll get to the trash of the day in about 6 minutes or so. Before we get to the Chiefs Red Half Hour as well, let's talk about one of the star quarterbacks in this league, a guy that set records last year as a rookie, done for the season, Jaden Daniels. One of the key injuries yesterday, Sunday Night Football. Now, it was a blowout, so I don't know how many people saw it live. But Jaden Daniels dislocated his elbow, and immediately it's one of those where you're like, all right, don't need to see the replay again. Thank you very much, Sunday Night Football, NBC. Don't need to see that replay. He was still in the game, though. down 38-7 with about 7 minutes to go.
So the game was over. Oh, and he just came back from injury, right?
He did, and that was like the reasoning some people were trying to give. Is like, well, he just needs to get back in a flow. Look, I don't care what the player wants in that spot. If you're Dan Quinn, that's coach malpractice. You cannot have a guy that's dealt with injuries this year, has struggled to stay healthy. You cannot have him in the game in that spot. This wasn't 38-7 in like a early third quarter. Like, well, I'm not bitching my guy for the whole second half. There was 7 minutes left in the game. And his style of play and why he's so effective is he's going to take off and run.
It was a read option play. They were still calling like essentially designed run plays for him at that stage.
That's just inexcusable. I would be livid if I were a Washington fan. Now, I will say in a roundabout way, this could be from a win-loss draft pick perspective. They were about to lose, you know, to me next week as well anyway.
Yeah,
and get to 3-7 and they're not making the playoffs. That was before the Jaden Daniels injury. So instead of being 15th overall pick, and now they have a chance for a top 10 pick, although, you know, if Marcus doesn't win some games. So in a weird way, for the oldest roster in football, too.
Yep.
They're in trouble all of a sudden in Washington.
They don't have a good offensive line. They don't have a good defensive line. They don't have good wide receivers. And look, the biggest fear I would have if I were Washington is, am I reliving, like, and this would be, and it's way too premature to say this, but you know what thought would creep in my head if I were a Commanders fan? Am I reliving the RG3?
Well, that was the conversation going to the Chiefs game they were having in D.C.
Right.
His mom was tweeting and trying to calm people down and say, don't you dare compare my son to RG3.
Now look, I don't know what to tell you.
This is a dislocated elbow.
RG3 was the best rookie quarterback in the NFL. His rookie season looked like the man was a force to be reckoned with, got hurt a little in his second year, never got healthy again, and never played again.
No.
We had asked 2 weeks ago, and I still think it's a fun conversation, which is, if you chose right now which order you would draft the 2024 NFL quarterbacks, way more people now would be answering Drake May.
Of course, he's an MVP.
Even 2 weeks ago.
He's a legit MVP candidate, and he's healthy. So some of that is recency bias, but I get it. I get the injury concern. I only will say the dislocated elbow, as nasty as it is, non-throwing elbow. This isn't a continued hamstring knee injury every single week that he had the knee sprain before. So like, this injury is not going to alter his career in terms of performance.
Yes.
In that regard.
It's not
right?
a leg injury.
Like, it alters him being available. Sure. Duh. He's not going to play this year, but next year he's not going to play worse because of the dislocated elbow.
And to your point of having the oldest roster in the NFL and having major, major roster deficiencies, picking seventh, man. You can revamp, like, I watched Philadelphia do this, and I don't think we ever talk about it as much for, like, Howie Roseman, like, best GM in the sport. He twice picked in the top 10. And no, like, some of those were because of trades he made, so I guess in fairness, he deserves the credit there. But, like, when you just have a down year and you're a good team, like, when you draft Joe Burrow, but then you pick in the top 5 and you get to take Ja'Marr Chase, there is part of, like, the supercharged roster building part that if you get the superior talented guy right, it's kind of nice for the following year. It doesn't solve all your problems. You don't get to just erase your memory and do it. But picking in the top 10 can come with a massive advantage if the season was already lost anyway. And their season was already lost before he even got hurt in that game. They were getting boat raced by Sam Darnold, who didn't so much as miss by an eyelash the entire game.
Sam Darnold's playing some MVP-type football
and
as well.
Their season already looked over before the guy got hurt.
The Commanders have the Lions next week. They were already in this trench. They had lost to the Bears, to the Cowboys, the Chiefs, going into last night's game. So in a weird way, that part could be a blessing in disguise, only that they're not going to even mess around and win 7 games.
That makes you feel better about this year, but now you should be team tank.
What does it do for Cliff? Cliff Kingsbury's the OC, was, you know, being talked about a legitimate head coaching candidate in the offseason. This offense for the last 3 or 4 weeks hasn't done anything.
Jaden Daniels on the season, his stats when he plays are still fine. Yeah. And that game excluded, I guess.
Running game is gone for them.
Running game is gone, but also it feels interesting the way, and I think part of that is because they haven't had a starting quarterback for a huge chunk of it. And how are you supposed to have a running game in a game in which you were trailing by 28 before the half was even over? So
All right, let's get to it. This one's local, guys.
Ooh.
This one, I don't know if you saw this story. This came out of Kansas City last week. KCI Airport. MCI, KCI. Before someone texts in.
KC has what they call it. It's technically MCI by airport code.
That's right. That's why. Yep.
I had to do a story on that once when I worked at KCPT.
Yeah, your baggage will say MCI, but whatever.
When they were talking about building new airports, I did a little... That's why they call it MCI. If you headed to KCI, you'd be heading to Indonesia.
Middle Airport or whatever, yeah.
You'd be heading to Indonesia.
Well, that would be a mistake on the flight path.
No idea
sure.
why I remember that.
Anyway, a man was arrested at Kansas City Airport, as the article calls it, on his way to, quote, kill the Illuminati. Mm-hmm. A man was charged with making a terroristic threat last week after telling passengers he was going to kill the Illuminati. This gentleman was arrested October 24th at a Delta Airlines gate after several passengers reported his threatening comments, including asking people if they knew what was in his check bag. Delta Airlines operations of the gate temporarily shut down while police canine units checked his luggage. It was cleared, found safe. He told police he believed the Illuminati was following him from his hotel near the airport. He denied making the statements, but understood how such comments could cause panic. He was charged with second-degree terrorist threat and placed on Delta's no-fly list.
Interesting. So,
what would you do if you're waiting at the gate and someone all of a sudden started shouting that? Like, would you, like, obviously you would be nervous in the moment. Would you want to get on the, like, even though they cleared that, would you want to even fly at that? Would you be like,
I mean,
I'm done flying for the day?
If they were saying that, I don't think. Now, in fairness, if I'm flying by myself, I put headphones on pretty quick.
You wouldn't have heard the whole thing.
I wouldn't have heard any of it. I'm like, well, that guy's just
Cody would have turned around and there would have been five people being tackled and kind of like, well, what happened? What happened here?
Yeah, probably.
Drew, what would you have done in the moment? Would you have tried to tackle this guy yourself or what?
Not doing that.
No. This wasn't on the plane, correct?
No.
The terminal.
At the gate. At the gate, you know, you're sitting waiting to board.
I probably would have just been an observer. Like, I would have just, like, normally I don't have my headphones on until I get on the plane, but I probably would have been, I would have just been watching on, I guess.
Obviously, crazy is the answer, but, like, I just assume, even if the Illuminati is real, let's just accept that on its premise for just a minute.
Okay.
They're not going to be wasting their time with me. This guy. Like, they got bigger fish to fry. They're a large-scale organization, you know? They're at the highest levels of government. Hypothetical, you know? It can't be. They're not wasting their time with me.
I don't know.
Huh? What do you mean you don't know?
Just in terms of the story in the NBA recently, like, just for... We have a connection between Chauncey Billups and the Mafia. Like, I don't know if anybody is... If anything, you might be a subject that they might take a random Joe instead of somebody else who's more popular. I don't know.
So now you're saying
I don't think anybody's
court documents.
Off-limits.
Court documents said that he stated to KCI police officers that he thinks the Illuminati should be dead. He will kill them all. Officers also saw him make a finger gun gesture, pointing it towards several nearby passengers.
Come on, man.
For him to also say, "Do you know what's in my bag?" Like, he's asking people if they know what's in his bag. Like, yeah, you're really not coming.
He said he was coming off as suspicious. Court documents, detectives said he had been staying at the Hilton Hotel near the airport when he first encountered the Illuminati. He stated they were following him, prompting him to leave the Hilton and take a shuttle to the airport. He also stated while waiting for his flight, laid on the floor, began speaking with a pastor telling him he was being followed by the Illuminati. He later went to his boarding gate.
Yeah. Does anybody else do this? So, like, if I'm at a Target or a grocery store or whatever, like, wherever I'm at, if I, like, go down the same aisle 2-3 times in a row because we just happen to be shopping in the same area, I will go out of my way to go somewhere else for a little
bit. Oh, if I see you again?
Yeah. Can't be. Because I'm like, they're going to think I'm following them. I can't be having this nonsense. I got to go somewhere else in the store for a little bit. I got to go to a different aisle. I got to backtrack. I can't be following you around. This feels crazy.
So admittedly, absolutely that's happened before. And I've had that same thought. It's very rare, but totally. I know what you're thinking. Yeah.
Yeah. I just kind of like, I got to move around. It's like, they're going to think, I don't even like following like, that close, like behind people's, like they're leaving the store. I'm like, I don't want them thinking, now we're parked in the same aisle. I'll sometimes shift to the left side or the right side. I move around a lot. I don't want people thinking I'm being weird.
Yeah, if you're by yourself, and depending on the exact circumstance, like if you're leaving and you're heading, your car is parked right next to, let's in this case say it's a woman or whatever, and you're like, I don't want her to think that I'm following her to a car. I totally get that. Yeah.
You can't just shout, I'm not following you. That would only sound worse. I just like the three aisles in a row. It's like I will go shop for something else or backtrack, even if it's not where I need to go. I'll go to the wrong aisle to try to delay it.
I think somebody was confused about the trash of the day. They said, so the guy didn't commit a crime. He was still arrested. Sounds like he wasn't lying. You can't make terroristic threats at an airport. That would be a crime if, in fact, he did that. There is no he didn't commit a crime. You can't. Thank goodness he didn't hurt anybody. If you're saying he needed to do that for it to be a crime, then you are correct. But no, he was threatening in making finger gun gestures, according to detectives.
Yeah. Can't you just like the truth is.
Don't do it.
Yeah. You know? Especially at airports. That, they take that stuff pretty serious. Monday's football coverage is presented by Busey Bank, where they're focused on success at Busey Bank. They've been building business and growing wealth since 1868. Learn more at BuseyBank.com.
All right, let's get back into the Chiefs in the red half hour. We'll take your calls. We'll open up the phone line. Your perspective on the loss yesterday. How realistic do you think this divisional race is? 913-586-7965. We'll do that and talk about the worst game we've seen from
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contract. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Holmes.
Welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
Chiefs Red Half Hour brought to you by All Weather Decks, Kansas City's most respected deck builder. Check them out at allweatherdecks.net. Gold got to hear my cheesy news guy voice in the commercial break on that story of MCI history.
I think you should give it to everybody.
I did for KTVT. I said, head to that airport code, and you'll be heading to Kono, Indonesia. For KCPT, I'm Cody Tapp. It was like light and airy, Drew. Very there friendly tone.
So peppy.
It was very peppy.
It wasn't like the deep voice, very, very monotone sort of.
Not as Smokey the Bear voice. No.
It was a light story about a story about the future of the Kansas City airport 10 years ago that was done on an evening special at KCPT that Nick Haynes hosted. And I had to do like two or three packages essentially for it. And that was one of them on why the airport codes are what they are.
I feel like if you're going to shout out to our guy, Sam Stevie, it feels like if you're going to do a news report, Sam, you need to, and you're going to imitate somebody. Sam Stevie is the guy that you should.
So I was working out there grinding out there in the middle area.
Oh, yeah.
Although we got beef with Dana Wright. This show very rarely does. An egregiously bad decision out in this main area. We share a bullpen area with KMBZ. Dana Wright, obviously the afternoon host, one of the two afternoon hosts at KMBZ. Mm-hmm. Walk in this morning after a weekend. Go, what is still on Dana Wright's desk?
I don't know if she left it there or someone put it on her desk, but it's there. It is five or so so pieces of broccoli, like broccoli florets or whatever you call them, just sitting on a plate on her desk from the entire... It's been there all weekend, I'm guessing.
Is it my responsibility to throw it away?
No, of course not.
I don't feel like I should have to throw away somebody's else gross food.
So it's still there?
Oh, yeah, you can go have some if you want. It's right over there. Yep.
How much would someone have to pay to take a bite?
No, one floret. Whoa. I'm not
it's
taking
just broccoli.
What's the price? That's all I'm asking. What's the price?
For right now?
Yeah, what would you eat one floret for?
If you know
it's probably Friday. Couple days.
If you... Could you get sick off of that?
Maybe, but it seems like
$100. Venmo me $100. I'll do it right now. Venmo me $100. I'll eat it. Get an extra cash.
I thought that was about the number.
I could use some more cash heading on trip. Sure.
That's a great call.
Venmo me $100 right now, and I'll eat it. Yep.
Interesting.
Eat them.
Yeah, I'll eat all four for $100.
All four for $100? Right now. Plate.
$25 a piece?
Yep.
Oh, man, I'm going to think about that. That's pretty tempting.
I'll just get a fork and all four at once. And
that's pretty tempting. Let me consider it. Okay. I mean, genuinely, let me consider that. Let's talk some Chiefs.
All right.
Obviously coming off their worst season. Gold, you and I both had a similar thought, I think, after the game. And like, rather than, and we'll talk about some of the other things that went wrong, because that very well might have been the worst game of Patrick Mahomes' career. Like, genuinely might have been. They, and this is not like, what happened? How did the game go so bad? They got worked on the offensive line and the defensive line. No pass rush, no pressure. Josh Allen sat back and picked him apart all day long. They tackled well still, by the way. James Cook got him a couple of times. He's one of the better backs in the league. Okay. They could not protect Patrick Mahomes. He got pressured on nearly 53% of the snaps in that game. He got driven into the ground at least three times by my count. I think it might have been four, where he got like pile-drived by a Bills player. They got beat up in the wide receiver stuff. Cole Bishop apparently is a superstar. Who the hell knows? He was like Troy Polamalu in his prime in that game. They got beat up on the line, though. Offensive line got beat up by the Bills' defensive line and vice versa. And I think that's really what that game boils down to.
It can be that simple at times. The offensive line, you got dominated. And the offensive line in particular had their worst performance with the two tackles. Jalen Moore struggled. Juwan Taylor had his worst game in a month. We just got done praising him last week, saying, man, he's got a month without the penalties, without having a poor performance. He wasn't any good. Now, again, I'll give credit to Joey Bosa and the Bills. They were really effective in their own right, but the Chiefs didn't have their A game, to say the least, on their offensive line. And the defensive line, it was much of the same problem that we've noticed, but they've been able to mask, and that is that they get zero pass rush. They get zero pass rush. Chris Jones, to me, at this point of his career, is not able to take over a football game. And yeah, he's double teamed a lot. Sure. I'm sure he's extremely frustrated. I think because they don't have a ton of depth there, he's asked to play a lot. And you can say, well, he should. He's paid X amount of money. Yeah, but at his age, if you want him to be as effective as he is in the past, he can't play as many snaps as he used to, clearly. And they don't have anybody else to rotate in right now. And so we could talk trade deadline if you guys want. Phone lines are open, 913-586-7965. I don't know if they can really trade for someone that is going to have a huge impact, but they just need some depth to rotate guys in. And Jalen Phillips was a name I know people had brought up. We can get to him if you want. I think for the Chiefs right now, Patrick Mahomes is not going to play that way again the rest of the season. Right? He played 142 NFL games. So that was the first time he completed less than 50% of his passes. It was a perfect storm of the Bills defense played their best game of the season. O-line worse. Pass rush got exposed by the second best quarterback in football. Andy Reid and Matt Nagy were not on it from a play calling perspective in game plan the way they had been. And the Bills got them. The Bills flat out got them.
Yep.
And a game for them that was also kind of in that must win type of territory. So because they've got a Patriots team that is front running their division on top of it. But this game is the game that is going to have the biggest impact in the division and the AFC standings and all that. I was more mad after the Jags game, though, because that game, the Chiefs had no business losing. The Chiefs had no business winning after the first quarter and a half yesterday.
Nope. They were pretty much outplayed immediately at halftime. Didn't feel like a game they were supposed to be in, were eventually in, certainly. But they were outclassed. Mahomes kept them alive. The deep ball kept them alive because they kept getting at least a few big plays, even though it was the smallest number of completions that Patrick Mahomes had ever completed in a game. in his NFL career, they were still able to battle it. I still don't think the Bills have definitively more talent, but man, the Chiefs played bad in that game. And it all started, like, Patrick Mahomes plays bad when he's not protected. He's not alone. He's not the first quarterback in the history of humankind for that to be an issue for. But, like, when their offensive line goes bad, man, it goes bad. Jawan Taylor's worst game, maybe as a Chief. Certainly this year, he got...
Well, I mean, in week one, against the Chargers, he had four penalties.
I know, but, like, in a way, this one was worse because it was more detrimental. Because every half second, Patrick Mahomes was under duress. That's fair. Maybe equally bad, but certainly bad. And then, obviously, they were on Jalen Moore as a backup, and he struggled. And I would say that, you know, I didn't notice Creed or Trey, so maybe they were fine. But the tackles, it doesn't matter. You can have the best interior line in the NFL if you don't have your tackles. And look, I've seen people hypothesize that maybe Simmons is getting close to coming back. And this will certainly change the will he start right away part of the conversation if they feel like they need that kind of leniency. But this is why we brought up the Simmons thing from the beginning. Not because we needed to know the personal thing he was dealing with, but that eventually there was going to be a game where the offensive line got their ass kicked, and then you were going to ask, hey man, what happened to that guy who used to start at left tackle for the Chiefs? And that's why we were asking the question at the time, when is Josh Simmons coming back? Not what is Josh Simmons gone for? And I think we now are at that point, obviously, where offensive line struggles, and now people want to know.
We'll get to the phones in just a second. We've got Donald on hold. We'll get there in momentarily. This text, this is where I don't agree. I know we don't have to panic on the Josh Allen beat Patrick Mahomes in the regular season thing. I understand the history there.
Yeah.
All right. And Josh Allen's won four in a row. We know Mahomes is one of the playoffs when it's mattered more. But I don't agree with this text where someone says, hey, it's the same old song and dance. Allen wins in the regular season. Patrick takes him out when it counts. Nothing to see here. This game had way more on the line, though. I hear you that I do not now think it means that Josh Allen is going to 100% beat Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs if they face each other. I don't think that either. And yeah,
it is a game they've lost a lot.
It is a game they have lost a lot. However, as we said going in, because of the three losses at the time already in the loss column, now four, because of the Broncos winning, now a 7-win team, you had more consequences to losing this game than ever before. That's all. If the Chiefs make the playoffs and play the Bills, I don't think anybody in Buffalo is going to feel amazing about that matchup, all right? But to act like this is just the same as the other regular season ones, it's not, just because of the standings and the reality of where you sit. 913-586-7965. Donald, you're on with Cody and Gold.
Hey, guys, one of the things I can't understand for the life of me, we have the best quarterback on the planet. The best quarterback in history when on the move, when he's rolling, when he's outside the pocket, when he's got a clean shot and there are things happening downfield, there is nobody better. And why Andy Reid continues to put him back in that pocket, especially with a suspect offensive line, and get him teed off on, is just beyond me. I think the whole game was lost yesterday by poor play calling. What do you think of that?
Hey, thanks for the call, Donald. Look, there's
you and I both said we didn't like Andy Reid's day.
I think it was one of the worst game plan play calling days that Andy Reid and Matt Nagy have had in 2025. You're correct on Patrick Mahomes when you get him out in space a little bit to run. That's when he's most dangerous. I think two things are true there. Like, one, we've questioned the halftime decision. And certainly some of the thought process of once again not going under center and all that. I have more issue with that kind of stuff than I think the reason why Mahomes, they weren't able to just bootleg him out is because neither tackle, you couldn't drift to either tackle because it was going to be an automatic sack or you're going to be under duress immediately. And so I think that part of it, I don't put as much on Andy Reid as the tackles did not play. The actual individual situational play calling and game plan is where I would agree with you, Donald. I don't know if get Mahomes out and running was really an option yesterday because the tackles were losing immediately.
And look, Denver's defensive line's coming to town, or they're going to their town.
Yeah.
In a couple of weeks. It's not like things get easier there, but they could, like, look, Trey Smith had a limited week at practice. They missed for a couple of days, I think Jalen Moore, or maybe it was Jawan Taylor who was sick, right? So they missed a couple of days there. So like, yeah. Some stuff happened and they had a bad, and teams and units can have bad days too. I hated Andy Reid's day. I thought the under center stuff, I thought they got away from the run. They got panicked in the play calling way too soon and seemed desperate way earlier in that game than made any sense to me. And look, we all know, I'm hoping sometime before the end of this damn show they trade for a defensive lineman. I think I'd kind of like Malik Collins, but there's a number of guys I could be talked to doing this. You know that Charles Omenihu only played 35% of the snaps yesterday? You know why? Because Leo Chenault played a bunch on the line because
they needed the athleticism.
Yeah,
to,
bingo.
To protect if Josh Allen was going to take off and run. And the runs to the outside where James Cook had success. First 100-yard rusher the Chiefs have given up all year.
First time they've given up like 20 games, right?
Yeah, I think that's accurate. Going back to, Zamir White of the Raiders a year ago. The Bills, it's weird. Someone was asking about blitzing. The Bills weren't blitzing. They just were getting pressure. Like, so the Bills pressured Mahomes on 52.5% of his dropbacks. That was 14% higher than their pressure rate in any of the other nine games against the Chiefs since 2020. So that was the difference. Mahomes, by the way, 3 of 16 for 61 yards and a pick when he was pressured. Let's not confuse pressure and blitz, though. Like, this was not the blitz deciding, or the Bills deciding they're going to blitz all day. They didn't have to. They were winning consistently against Jalen Moore, against Jawan Taylor, at times even against the interior, not as much there. Most of the time the blitz came from the edges. But I guess what I'm saying is, like, this was not like the Bills' game plan was to blitz Mahomes. No, the Bills, the fact that they were able to get pressure without blitzing is why seemingly there was no opportunities for Patrick Mahomes throughout the game. And he, as you said earlier, started trying to play a little hero ball. And that's when things are always breaking down for Kansas City. And they never usually result in an impressive performance or a win when that has to happen. 913-586-7965. You guys can keep texting in. We'll also continue to take some of your calls. We'll get to those in just a bit. Curious to hear your thoughts on the game.
This is like, and this is where you and I tend to be, I don't know, and maybe this year's different. We'd had that conversation early in the year. Then maybe I shouldn't be treating it like any other Chiefs year, and this team's not quite the same. And I don't think they're quite the same, but I don't think it's as far as it is. I've seen three different texts today asking why Jalen Royals can't get more time or Tyquan Thornton can't get more time. That was like the least bit of problem, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Like, that's far from it. And look, here's part of it. Part of what we don't want to admit based on what happened here is, so yesterday, one, I didn't realize they were calling it the hunt bunt for the short yardage.
That's the thing. Mahomes said to Jim Nance.
Yeah, tough.
Hunt bunt.
Obviously, tough day for the hunt bunt, as they were not particularly good in short yardage in this particular game. A big part of their problem going into it was Brett Veach whiffed on running back. The available free agents. They started Clyde Edwards-Helaire and gave the man a carry, or multiple carries, in a game he had no business getting a carry, in my opinion. They should have given more to Breshad Smith or more to Kareem Hunt. They gave Kareem Hunt actual playing time. In an offseason in which Javonte Williams, Rico Dowdle, J.K. Dobbins were all available for the same amount of money.
I'll throw a Nick Chubb in that group too.
That they all were available for the same amount of money. They gave Elijah Mitchell a contract, and they won't even put him on the field. So, like, part of this offseason is they gave Christian Fulton money, and he's inactive. And they gave Elijah Mitchell money, and he's inactive. And they're on the 53-man roster, and Josh Simmons hasn't been on the roster. They've been playing with a 50-man roster the last couple of weeks, and certainly a 51 all-year gold, as you had pointed out, I think, last week. They whiffed on two of their offseason signings, and that's not a great start. Maybe there's still some... Maybe Fulton can still contribute in some way, but I think we're past it on Elijah Moore.
The thing with Elijah Mitchell. The day they re-signed Kareem Hunt, we were wondering how it would impact the draft. And I think we've all acknowledged at this point in time, we would have liked them to approach the backfield differently. That, to me, wasn't the issue yesterday, though. You know what I mean? Like, by the way, Kareem Hunt, we can talk about right before halftime, go under center instead of out of shotgun. And prior to yesterday, Kareem Hunt,
in the other part of the game, was very effective.
Kareem Hunt was more effective in short yardage heading into yesterday than even tush push. I don't know what it says now. Probably not the same. But the point is, it was. So as much as I agree with you, in general, I would have liked them to have spent a higher draft pick or bring in a different body. Elijah Mitchell can't even be active and all that. It is crazy. I'm with you. I don't think that is yesterday is why. Like, that's why yesterday went the way it did.
Sure.
But yes, you
three of the four guys I mentioned are top five running backs.
A lot of guys
aren't
playing. A lot of these guys are not playing for you, though.
Yeah.
You know, Christian Fulton, Josh Simmons, we all know it's the personal issue. And, you know, clearly they need him back. I understand he's dealing with some things, but, you know, I think you're going to see more and more people, even those that didn't want people to worry about it. More than ever, people say, hey, okay, yeah, really, what is kind of going on here in terms of timeline? Because it's a problem for them, especially when you have an injury that happens. All of a sudden, Wanya Morris is playing right tackle for you.
Yeah, which was the thing they were trying to avoid for a huge chunk of last season when they eventually took Wanya Morris out and went to Joe Tooney instead.
913-586-7965. Chiefs Red Half Hour, we are taking some calls today, given the magnitude of yesterday's game. Caleb from Parkville joins us here on the show.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey, man.
Appreciate y'all taking my call, man. I just had a just quick saying, man, like, it's just, I'm a Patriots fan. And, you know, I've been a Patriots fan since Ty Law. He's the reason why I became a Patriots fan. And then, you know, I got to meet Bledsoe when I was a kid as well. I think a lot of the things that people kind of look at that I hear on the call line or the text line or anything like that is that they forget that, one, the Patriots went so long without a championship. And you know, we still had a good team, but we went all those years. Right now, it's kind of looking like the Chiefs are kind of going through that slump. Now, Mahomes is young and still in his prime, but just because maybe they don't make it, and we all know, of course, you guys always say it, that, like, you know, the Chiefs always dominate November, December, all that. Let's just see. But, and of course, this is their best team, in a sense, that he's ever had. At the end of the day, I kind of feel like that they're in a slump. If they don't make the playoffs or make anything like that, I kind of feel like that people need to relax. It's still Mahomes. They still have the weapons. They will overcome, but I think people kind of forget about that and try to nag on little things like that that they want to nag for and nag on. And it makes no sense for you to do that. I think they need to calm down. If you guys don't make it, then you guys don't make it. But I'm sure that they will next year. That's just what it is. So, I mean, I don't know if I'm just overdoing it, but at the end of the day, I kind of feel like that Chiefs fans and all that need to kind of calm down a little bit. It's not over. The reign with Mahomes is not over. Just chill.
Caleb, appreciate the call.
But I appreciate y'all making my call.
Yeah,
they made three straight Super Bowls. I'm not losing my mind.
913-586-7965. Yeah, I understand what Caleb was saying, bigger picture about, you know, if blank doesn't happen this year, don't act like they can't get back there. Here's the only thing I'll say, Caleb, and you're not wrong on the bigger picture. I think we're way too early to even have that conversation. It's heading into week 10 of a bye week. So that conversation happens if A, they miss the playoffs, if they lose in the wild card weekend, don't get to their first AFC title game. Like, I think that, I don't think anybody, I won't say anybody, there's always somebody
playoffs
out there.
Are still determined.
Most people in Kansas City, I'll say most, because I can never say everybody. There's always somebody out there. Most people in Kansas City, I still think, believe this team is making the playoffs, okay?
Yeah.
Most. Now, the division is a different conversation. I think that is way more split, and I think there might be people lean more and more that they're not winning the division, and I am very close to thinking that the division is not going to happen this year as well, but I got to see them play the Broncos first. They haven't even played the Broncos yet this year. They got two games against Denver, so I can't eliminate them from that yet. But bigger picture, yes, there was a lull in the Patriots' two dynasties. In between, the reason why it's two dynasties, not one, there was a lull. But I just think that conversation is way too early. A week ago, the Chiefs were the best team in football and they could do no wrong. And now we're acting as if that it's all over. That's not true either. The Chiefs, by the way, are still the Super Bowl favorites.
That's crazy.
I know.
It's not crazy in the sense that I just told you the top of the AFC. That's part of what's happening in that conversation. But also, it tells you where people still think of this team. They played a bad football game. And this is what stands out. They were at least still in a game to me. Like, if I'm half, you know, glass half filling it.
Sure.
One, they lose this game every year. They lose to the Bills in the regular season. They've gotten their ass kicked against the Bills in the regular season. They're still 4-0 in the playoffs against Josh Allen. So if the Bills lose again, they'll be beside themselves if they won another regular season game, only to lose to Kansas City in the postseason once again. But also that they legitimately, the Bills played their B-plus game, I would say, for all four quarters. Maybe A-plus game in the first half. But B-plus game in the four quarters of the game. And the Chiefs played a D-level game. And Patrick Mahomes still had a chance to throw it towards the end zone at the end of the game to give themselves a chance to win. They weren't or at least a tie. Maybe they, you know, they didn't win the game. They lost, certainly. But to play that bad of a football game, for Patrick Mahomes to be under pressure 50% of the time, to turn the ball over, to not be able to stop James Cook, right, to let Josh Allen complete 89% or whatever the hell it was of his passes, and to not be out of it, speaks to me that there's still talent on this roster that can come together. I don't like deny any of those possibilities. But yeah, the division's going to be way harder. It's 50-50, and we'll talk more about it later in the show.
Yeah, and I know the day after a loss like that, nobody wants to sit here and tell you that, that this team is still good. Like, you're expected to say they suck. Now, all of a sudden, they don't, okay?
No.
Like, there's a balance of they got their butts kicked. They got an area exposed again that we knew was an issue, pass rush. Offensive line we thought had finally settled in, and at least one day at the office, their two tackles were a big problem again. We thought we were past that. We're not, clearly. That stuff can be true, while also not forgetting just a week ago, this team, everybody was saying you were crazy for not thinking that they're going to go win the AFC. So, you know, that's where I will pump the brakes. But admittedly, it's going to be a long week and a half or so getting set for a massive, I will say almost, is it fair to say, because of the division aspect, like season-defining type of game against the Broncos coming up. You lose that game, not only are you losers of two in a row,
you're
500.
Playoffs become
division
a big risk.
Is done, yeah. And playoffs start to become more. Yeah, so it's a season-defining type of game coming up in, 10 or 14 days.
You get 2 full weeks to prepare for the Denver Broncos, who we'll get to see on a standalone game, according to this. Jordan Schultz now reporting.
Say, we'll talk about it on the other
Chiefs,
side.
Oh, yeah. Chiefs, we'll talk about it on the other side, but he's reporting Chiefs rookie left tackle Josh Simmons has returned to the team facility after missing the last 4 games to tend to a personal family matter. Obviously, and then pointing out the rest of the stats. So, according to Jordan Schultz, Chiefs rookie left tackle Josh Simmons has returned to the team facility. We'll talk about that more on the other side.
Yeah, we'll do that. Yeah, because there were earlier this morning, people were noticing he reactivated his Instagram account as well. And yes, he's back. Now, we won't get to hear from Andy Reid this week because they're on a bye week. So, he's back in the facility. Awesome news. Does that mean he's playing in Denver? Does that mean he gets his job back right away? Yesterday probably doesn't hurt that, but we'll discuss that a little bit more. We'll get to what's trending right here on Cody and Gold.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of...
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Black Friday deals are going on all month long. Save up to 45% site-wide, plus a free professional measure right now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.